And you're in the G-Zone with Giovanni Gelati. Gio, what's going on today?
I have no idea what was going on at the beginning. Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the G-Zone. We are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday Party. If you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, welcome. I hope everybody has a really good evening. We got a lot in store tonight. But first, we'd like to, as always on a Thirsty Thursday, with Helping Hands Press, we'd like to start off with the opening prayer. Tonight's prayer is sent in, shared by Marcia Lee Laycock. So if you don't mind, everybody, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as writers of faith, we want to honor you not only in our writing, but in our lives. Help us to overcome the obstacles that prevent that. Help us to lean on you for all our inspiration, depend on you for all our needs. Help us to keep our motivations honest and pure, and speed the helping, healing power of our words to those who need them. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Thanks a lot, Marcia. That's right on the Helping Hands Press blog. You can take a look at it there. Let's give an overview for evening, because I just got news that Tony Hilling is going to join me here on the show, which is going to be really cool. I really enjoy Tony. He's been on the show a few times. Hopefully we'll be fortunate to have him on sometime in the future. Not during a Thirsty Thursday. Maybe he'll even play a song for us tonight. Who knows? We'll get into that a little bit. Right now, though, as far as the song, we're going to go until 9 o'clock tonight. And the next time we meet for a simulcast on Thirsty Thursday will be the 20th, if August 20th. If you go on the Helping Hands Press Facebook page and you go into the event section, you'll see it right there. And that'll be the last Thirsty Thursday in August. The schedule for September, October, November, December will be in the events section probably. At the end of the month. The other blog talk show that I'm going to have, because it's a very light month, we've had to take some time off here on the show. Marta Burden will join us on August 19th, and then the 20th is a simulcast, and then we'll pick up again in September, and we got some articles here on the G-Zone coming up, so it's going to be pretty cool. Let's give an overview for tonight. Patty J. Smith, and there's going to be two giveaways. They're going to run for the next 2 weeks. One is Patty J. Smith's Grave Obsessions, and the other one is Tracy Krause's Neighbors. Now, both of these, you can go on the blog, on the Helping Hands Press blog. Simple, very easy to enter to win. There will be three paperbacks of each novel given away. The person who the first place winner will get not just the paperback, but also the audiobooks for both of those stories. We have some new releases, really cool ones. The first one is going to be one of many, the ebook bundle that you can get for $2.99. There'll be five different stories in there, five different genres. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Dee Matchow, her audiobooks are now all in the Helping Hands Press store. So her Alive and Whole, you can get the entire book in audiobook. You'd have to get four audiobooks in order to do that. Also, a new release by Roger Reinheimer, Amish Snow, is now in short story form. Volume 1, The Beginning, is available on Amazon as well as the Helping Hands Press store. We also have some new reading samples. One of them is going to be from Marcia Lee Laycock for her new devotional, Northern Reflections. And the cover for that is up on the blog as well. Kevin Stubinsky for his Pearls from Swine, or Pearls for Swine. I got to read that again. Tony Hilling, our guest here in the studio in a little while, his volume 3 of The Voice of Ada Stamen, that is up for you to read. We have a cover comparison coming up at 8:40, which should be very interesting. James J. Griffin has a new series starting, and two different covers for everybody to look at. And I know Jim likes both of them. He's very, very eager to see what folks have to say. We have coming soon for Murray Pure, the Silver City Volume 3 cover reveal, and also reading sample for that. Really cool thing for Ann Baxter Campbell. Next Thursday on the 20th, she's going to be releasing not one but two children's books. One is a children's book in full color. The other one will be a coloring book where the kids can color as they want. Also, there will be extra pages so they can draw what they see as maybe in Telly. They'll be able to draw freestyle in there themselves. Will be pages available for them to do that. Where am I at now? Okay, there's also on the blog, not to be forgotten, there's some blog posts by Peggy Bland Pfeiffer, which is pretty cool. She has a Q&A up on there for folks if you feel adventurous. There's a blog post by Tony Hilling, and maybe he'll address that when he's on in a little while. Melanie M. Jasky has a blog post up there. Tomorrow, there will be a blog post by Big Jim Williams, and we'll also probably have to mention that Tony Hilling's here on the show, and we'll have a blog post that will have a review of what's going to happen on the 20th, because there's going to be a few things going on. I just want to scroll down here. Oh, let's talk about the blog in general for a minute before Tony gets in here. Let's do that, and then we can talk about the blog in general here. Some very interesting things have developed in the last few weeks here on the blog. Total page views right now. The ticker's up on the blog. 1,454,615 page views last month, up from the previous month. There were a total of 448,314 page views last month. That was up probably by at least 100,000 page views for the month. That's pretty cool. Now, the page views today, 16,984, and that is the lowest of the week. The blog has been averaging between 19 and 21,000 page views a day. As far as countries that are viewing the Helping Hands Press blog, the United States is number one by far. Interesting development. India is number two now. Slovakia, 3. Germany, 4. France, 5. United Kingdom, 6. Singapore, 7. Venezuela, 8. Denmark, 9. And Canada coming in at number 10. So those are the overview. That is the overview of the blog. As far as the I'm trying to click over to the blog itself. Top 10 most viewed blog posts, if I can get to it. Let's see. I'm over at the blog. Yeah, things are slow today on the computer. Isn't that always the way? You know, whenever you want something to cruise, it just slows down on you. Okay. Scrolling. I went down too far. Still down too far. Okay. Here we are. Popular blog post. Number one. Joy Ross Davis. What do you think of the beginning of Joy Ross Davis's Heartbroken Angel, the reading sample? Number two. Get the free audiobook sample of William Tash's Backslide Now. Number three. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer's reading sample is chapter one of Undercurrents. Number four. Melanie M. Jasky's chapter one of Evasions. Next one after that is the announcement of the new series launch for Peggy Bland Pfeiffer, Sweetwater River. Look out. The end is near for the San Francisco Wedding Planner series. That's going to happen on the 20th. It's pretty cool. That's going to wind everything up. Next one is Murray Pure's A Soft Morning. Sneaking in into number nine right now. Please help Kevin Stabinski choose a cover for his new series, Pearls Before Swine, at number nine. Congratulations, Kevin. And number 10, what fantasy warriors and scary creatures would you like to see in at the corner of crossroads and cosplay? All right. Looks like we'll see if Tony's here now. Hello, is this Tony?
Hello. How are you,
Joe? How you doing, Tony? Welcome to the show.
Good. Yeah, thank you. Thank
you. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Doing really good. I remember we were talking back a few months ago. I had a little bit of a health issue with angina, and anyway, I'm back to full health. I'm doing some exercising and swimming and biking, etc. So I feel like a million bucks.
Awesome! Congratulations. Can you on the blog? There is a post by you. Let me scroll down. I just want to make sure I get the title right. And when you have the, we'll get to betrayal in a second. You have the reading sample of betrayal. But the other blog post that you have, I like the whimsical nature of your writing and the heartfelt parts that you put in. I think I went too far again. Dagnabbit. What is the title? So how you came up with the names? Let me see.
Edith Stamen, yeah. Edith Stamen, as you call it, yeah.
Excuse me here. Readers have been asking about Tony Hillings. Have been asking Tony Hillings, where did you dig up that name, Edith Stamen, anyway? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's kind of, I really don't know how to answer it in one sense, Joe, because I remember just searching for some names, and it was like I said in the blog about reaching into the black hole or something and pulling out this name that just came from nowhere. You know, I just felt that this had to be a world with a special name, and a special bunch of folks that had different histories and sort of coming together. So Edith Stamen was as much a creation of my own subconscious as anything else. You know, it wasn't really I didn't see it anywhere else, or it was just wanted a name with about three or four syllables in it that would describe, it would sound somewhat poetic, you know, and this is what came to me. So I was in the vlog, you know, how did J.R. Rowling come up with Quidditch, or C.S. Lewis come up with Narnia, or et cetera, et cetera. So it seems like we have this, function in our brains that we can create other worlds, you know, and apply little names to them that don't have anything in common with the English language. So, yeah. So
that made for interesting reading. Thank you. Can you segue over to Betrayal? Now, this is volume 3 in the Voice of Venom Statement series. What do you have rolling in this for folks? The reading sample is very compelling.
Could you say that again, Giovanni?
Can you tell us about Betrayal from the voice of Edith Stamen? Because the reading sample that's up on the blog is very compelling.
Yeah. Well, really what's going on here is it was kind of almost like a theme that I noticed in, say, a movie like Ben-Hur. You know, do you have a favorite movie that you have? This came out when I was a kid, like in the late 50s, you know. Now, obviously, I'm dating myself, but I was many, many years later, I was able to see Ben-Hur, and that play between Ben-Hur himself and his arch rival, the young Roman man, and I forget his name, it doesn't come to me. But it was sort of a theme of a friendship that somehow sours. So Betrayal really reflects what's going on in that volume 3 of the first part of the trilogy, where O.N. begins to share his heart with a friend whom he trusts, and the friend suddenly begins to turn on him and turn against him, in fact. So it's one of the themes of the, if you like, the dark side of the force, you know, where in life sometimes we trust people, and either a little naively or perhaps not naively, but someone just whom we think is a friend kind of stabs us in the back. It's like the Judas syndrome, if you like, that sometimes people experience. So that was sort of in my mind as I look at that, and I saw that as a kind of a suffering, if you like, a pain, a dark side that sometimes human beings go through. We trust people that perhaps we should not have trusted, and it kind of bites us. So it's one of the sort of a sub themes in the book and how this plays out, and there's more development of this later on in the book.
Nice. I got a follow up question in a second. Now, you're listening to the G Zone. My guest tonight is Tony Hilling on a Facebook page right now. Things that have happened as we're talking to Tony. The post went up for D-Match Owls Alive and Whole audiobooks, which you can find in the Helping Hands Press store. You can get those links either on the blog or right on the Facebook page. If you just go to myhelpinghandspress.com or myhelpinghandspress.blogspot. Narration by George handled the voice acting duties for that. He did a very nice job. It's a nonfiction work, and I think George did a bang-up job with it. And also right now, post for Ann Baxter Campbell's coloring book, maybe in Tilly, just popped up. A very interesting project for Ann. And this is the third coloring book, that children's book that she has had out, which is really cool. Here with Tony Hilling. Tony, do you feel with the voice of Ada Stamen that you're breaking new ground or trying to punch through a wall that maybe a few others haven't? Because some readers have been trying to categorize the work a lot of different ways, not just fantasy, but like biblical fantasy, a whole bunch of different stuff. How do you feel about that? Do you think this is something that you've contemplated, or maybe just something that people are kind of pointing at you with?
Well, I think, like I started the book like over 15 years ago, Giovanni. So it was and somewhat in a response to, the J.R. Rowling phenomenon that happened. And I wanted to write something that would in some way honor God and yet, have a niche, if you like, in the fantasy world and the fantasy library, as it were. And so I had the inkling of a story, and I sensed in my mind it would have to be a liberation story, because I thought all the great stories, even the ones you're looking at in the Bible, were liberation stories. Even in our own culture, our own visual culture, take the movie Braveheart, for example, a liberation story, the movie of the Exodus, Paul Newman, again, a liberation story. So when I approached this story about a kind of, as I said before, unashamed allegory of the Jewish people or the chosen people in another world, where they were struggling for freedom in a whole ethos where they had become in exile or in bondage. After a while, I thought, I suppose it's a fantasy book, but it's also a biblical. It was like at times it was playing out in my mind as biblical themes in a fantasy world. So I suppose you're right. I'm sort of carving out a bit of a new trail here. I've tended to do that with my life. I have this problem of staying away from the highways. I then have to cut my own swath through the into the hills somehow. And I suppose as I look at this, I would say it is breaking new ground. I've just had a heck of a lot of fun just writing it. and I hope people will have a lot of fun reading it. But it's been a challenge too, you know, just to stay at it and to stay encouraged, even though nothing appears to be happening. And it's only obviously in the last even year that it seems to have come to fruition, you know. So, yeah, I think it is breaking new ground. And I guess it's my way of trying to reach a wider audience than the people that only have physical relationship with through sight. And, you know, so it's the way that I can somehow put the message out there of the biblical truths in a different way by dreaming up a fantasy world. Yeah.
Nice. Do you think there's any type of age limitations, or do you think it's pretty much wide open?
I think you mean. Do I know what sort of comes at the end? Sorry, I sort of missed that, Giovanni. Do you give me that
no,
again?
No, as far as readers go, is this strictly an adult type thing, or do you feel if anybody's a young adult, they're more than capable of grasping it?
I would really like to see young adults getting into. I suppose, excuse me, one of the things I was taught was to try and get a sense of who your audience was, and I suppose in some ways Christians across the board, a whole panorama of Christianity would recognize the principles in this, but I really wanted to reach people that were not Christian. I wanted to reach them with a kind of a rollicking story that has a bit of a you know, has some comedy in it, has some action in it, has some, if you like, philosophy in it, you know, and would in a sense draw people in to the story, but would kind of maybe sucker them a little with the good news. So it was just like a way of drawing a certain niche of the audience, a certain kind of piece of the pie, and I did want to especially touch young adults, but I think in the end it turned out that my audience is pretty general, you know. I wanted to, one of the sub themes is a struggle for faith, you know, and I've got a couple of, if you like, atheists in there that don't really believe, but they're sort of caught up in this maelstrom of activity and goings on that happens in this world, and they have to somehow make sense of it, you know. And so I wanted to somehow be able to encapsulate. I wanted to be able to put into words the struggles of a person who didn't believe, you know, or who was really struggling with faith, and yet recognized that maybe there was something to it, you know. So. I suppose I'm rambling on here, Giovanni, but I really wanted to make it a kind of an evangelical tool, and I say that in a very, I suppose, Catholic sense across the board.
Yeah, it does. The parts that you're pulling from the Bible or from certain parts of it, or you pretty much cover Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it looks, when at the face of it, it looks more Old Testament-like, you know, because obviously I know Jesus is not there specifically. It's more like a Moses figure, or even a David, a Davidic figure. But as I look at it, the principles of the New Testament are strong in it, you know, even though not maybe explicitly. Yeah, I'm really just thrilled that it's beginning to take some shape, and that George is doing the audio of it. That is just very, very encouraging. And I listened to his blog, of course. It was just wonderful just to hear him do the voices. And it's just so affirming and encouraging to know that it's it's taking shape.
Cool. Again, some good good reviews off it. Some bloggers have been nice enough to chime in on your work, and they find it very compelling, very interesting. So I think you're headed in the right direction with that. Do you want to talk about your music for a little bit? Because it seems like every time we play a song or one of your songs or somebody mentions your music and stuff, folks really they like your music. I guess they're really starting to understand Tony Helling a bit and the passion you have for your Duke. We talk about that Tower and Cross a little bit, and one or two of the other songs, that'll be fine.
Yes. Yeah, I've been writing songs actually a lot more than prose, if you like, Giovanni. I remember I have the song that I have to send to you that I wrote a number of years ago, and it somehow touched a chord in a lot of the Catholic and Christian people. I wrote it when I was in a town called Drumheller in Alberta. It would have been in the very early 90s. And I'd read a story in the Catholic Digest. And it was about a guy who didn't believe in God. And he wanted his family to go out to midnight mass, I guess. And then he stays at home, and he has this experience of trying to help some birds into a barn that were kind of blown about by a storm. And I guess at the height of his struggles, he's trying to help these birds, and they're frightened of him. And he's trying to help them. And then he sort of sees, and, you know, says to himself, if only I could become a bird and a man, I could lead them into my barn and help them, you know. And suddenly it hits him what he's just said. You know, and then he begins to understand that God really had to become one of us at Christmas time. So I wrote a song about that called The Ballad of the Birds. And I hope to send that. But I just had this, again, a sense I wanted to reach out in a artistic medium to people with the truths, again, of Christianity, of the biblical our God, you know. And I Towering Cross was another example of that. I was I had a friend here, Andrew Kuhman, who is a playwright in Canada, and he's written a number of very compelling plays. He wrote a play about she has a name, it's called, and it's about a young gal who gets caught up in the trafficking in Asia. And it's quite a almost disturbing play, but it really brings to light a number of things in the Western world where this goes to some extent unknown. And he wrote another play called That Towering Cross, which was a kind of a discussion of a girl's struggle with faith and how she comes to see in the cross the tree of life. And the name, the title just sort of gripped me, you know, and I sat down, and I just began to write just a couple of words, and eventually I tend to do it backwards. I tend to write the words first, and these words came out, and I sort of played around with it for a while. And then I picked up my guitar, and I began to, and within the space of less than an hour, I had the song, you know, so it was kind of exciting, and I shared it with a friend, and he really liked it. And I sang it for a couple of citywide prayers here in Red Deer. And then I felt to send it down to you. So I just, you know, when we look around at the world, Giovanni, we see the turmoil, and we see the, you know, the things going on with ISIS and with even the weather patterns beginning to afflict us, you know. I just felt that humanity is crying out for wisdom and for light, and where do we look? You know, we look to the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ, and it just seemed like something that I wanted to set before my audience, you know, that God has given me. So, yeah, I tend to write a lot of ballads and you know, songs with a story. And I haven't done much recently in the last while, but the one that I wrote was That Turning Cross was the first song in about, I would say, at least 10 years. Yeah. So.
Cool. You're listening to the G-Zone. My guest tonight's Tony. If you're on Facebook, Twitter, please join the party, share, like, and fave, whatever you want to do. Let's have some fun. Support the author community, Helping Hands Press, because they would love to reach new readers and also share your content as well. What just popped up, I have to talk about this. Roger Reinhardt, Amish Snow, Volume 1, The Beginning. This is not your average Amish story. In fact, it's a compelling historical Amish story told by Roger, who pretty much ingrained in the Amish community for a number of years during his youth. Actually worked an apprentice with an Amish gentleman learning woodworking. It's very stark. It's very real. It is has many subplots to it, addiction, things like that. It is a quite a different read. And I've known Roger probably for about 5 years. Had him on a show a few times. He's an awesome writer. And his story, Snow, is an interesting read, whether it's story or any kind of story. It's just very, very compelling. Sometimes a little bit raw, but it has a direction and it has a drive to it that other stories in this genre just don't have. I would suggest it to anyone, but understand it is not one of your fairly Amish stories. So just going to that, I believe part of that description, it's had a number of best-selling stories. So I would suggest anybody that pick it up. Coming up next, Kevin Stabinski has his reading sample for Pearl. After that is the ebook bundle, which is really cool. It is the first one. There's going to be many from the Helping Hands Press author community. It's going to mix different genres, give readers an opportunity for a very low price. You're getting five stories, I think, a total of almost 60,000 words for $2.99. Five different authors give you an opportunity to sample different genres and see what you like about them. And coming up shortly is James J. Griffin's for comparison, which would be pretty cool. Tony, you want me to play The Towering Cross for the listeners this evening so they get the flavor of the song, and on the other side we can talk some more about your work and
Sure. That'd be great, Joe. That'd be wonderful.
Let me go down the panel here. Oops, I went too far. Nope, I got it right here. All right. This is That Towering Cross by Tony Helen.
What a shape of precious world is in these days. Slavery, addiction, bondage to old ways. Men and women lost in darkness of the nights. Who will save them from the grave, the fearful plight? The towering cross we lift high before the world, and we cry, Jesus, Savior, we lift high that towering cross, we lift high cross. Rise up, holy church, and take your rightful place. Do not be afraid of the cost to run the race. Hold on to the world, the banner of God's grace. Let the towering cross be seen in time and space. The towering cross we lift high before the world. We cry, Jesus, Savior, we lift high that towering cross. We lift high the towering cross. Come upon the clouds of heaven, Lord of might. Gather in your saints around your throne of light. We will shout your praises through eternity. We will sing again the song of victory. The towering cross we lift high before the world. We cry, Jesus, Savior, we lift high that towering cross. We lift high that towering cross. That towering cross we lift high before the world. We cry, Jesus, Savior, we lift high that towering cross. We lift high the towering cross. We lift high that towering cross. We lift high the towering cross.
Sorry about that. I had myself muted. And Tony Hillings, our guest here on the G-Zone. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Across Thirsty Thursday Party. If you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, please join the party. Tony, you had a very very nice on your first chapter sample of Betrayal from Flora Regatta. So it's a very intricate story. It's obvious a lot of work and sanctified imagination went into this. So that's very nice of Flora. Oops, there's another comment. What do we got here? Hold on. Cycling fast enough for me tonight. Oh, okay. Oh. Robert Kennard, he made a comment on Laycock's Northern Reflections. Very good. It makes one think of who we are. All right. A lot of stuff going on the Facebook page. Tony, when you're doing, you've written the words. How do you decide how the music goes, like the tempo and stuff?
Yeah, it was like, when I wrote the words, I try and as much as possible do some sort of rhyme, you know, and so that there's a kind of a, how can I say, Giovanni? It's like a way that you want to let the stuff happen without mauling it too much. You know, sometimes you can just grab onto something and instead of maybe just letting the flow. So I try to sort of find a medium way of writing down the impulse, if you like, and yet trying to express it in a poetic way, you know, that would mean something, that would call out images to folks, you know. So for example, you know, when I shared it with that my friend Andrew Kuhman, he said, I suppose you could call those things cliches, you know, that like a cliche is something that people would immediately recognize and maybe is used too much, but you know, but I suppose also you want to write a song that people can understand, you know, that folks could listen to and say, yeah, I agree with that. That's the experience of the Christian faith. I've gone through this kind of a experience, and so I try and write in terms of a story, even in the actual song. So you set down, for example, the problem, you know, and then you bring in somehow the solution to the problem, as it were, the presence of Christ and Jesus in our world, and then you try and then push it forward to the times when we won't be on this earth, you know, we'll be gathered around his throne in heaven, you know. So it's just I hope the song gives you know, comfort and hope to folks who are maybe caught up in a world that's not perfect, that where there's, you know, good people die and good people suffer, but the only answer to it really is that towering cross, you know. I had a interesting I was out in Calgary last weekend, and I spoke about a gentleman, actually a friend of Billy Graham's, who somehow lost his faith, Charles Templeton, a Canadian evangelist, and it was interesting just listening to there's a DVD set by Lee Strobel, and he had a kind of an interview with Charles Templeton, and really, you know, without judging the man, he was struggling with faith, and he had doubts, you know, but the only answers to his struggle were actually wrapped up in the cross of our Savior, you know, and able to, in this sense, with that song, to put that out there, that it's the only answer to the problem of evil, which, you know, there's been a lot of ink spilt on that one, Giovanni, down through the ages and civilization. And we still can't really come to a full answer to that. So we really have to trust and look to where God has shown the way there.
Cool. All right. Now, the post for James J. Griffin's Renewal of Faith just popped up. There are two covers, very different. One's pretty much like a stark white, and the other one, a silhouette of a cowboy on a horse. And so far, things are a little mixed. Ambaxter Campbell likes A. Sue likes both B and A, but thinks maybe A may appeal. Cindy Noonan, she goes with B because she thinks the light and cloud suggest a heavenly answer. Melanie M. Jasky, she goes with B for sure. Doesn't give a reason why. That's her choice. Tony, do you see this on the Facebook page? Do you have any preference on A or B here?
Let me just see that, Joe. I'm just trying to work with my phone here. So you're just down a little down on the Facebook page here? Yeah. Let me just see. And this is James J. Griffin's. Okay.
Yeah, I personally, I'm with A. I like it, Jim's big in the Western genre, and I think B has a lot of really good qualities. I think A kind of stands out from the pack as far as what other Western covers look like. I was very intrigued by A.
Yes.
But I think folks will be voting on this for a couple of weeks, so it'll
like
be interesting
B,
to see.
Yeah.
You like the silhouette?
I like B because, you know, you got that, you know, the typical sort of Western conclusion, you know, the sunset, you know, and the rider, you know, like Shane, you know, riding mm-hmm. into the sunset, you know, Alan Ladd, and I kind of like that. I like the colors there, and it just sort of strikes me. A is good too, but I kind of, yeah, I think I would prefer B.
Yeah. That's good. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation over the next few weeks on social media. I hope folks are able to give Jim a little bit of help. Trying to see if there's more comments on the blog here. Marcelli Laycock likes A. It's striking and different. And Baxter Campbell likes the black and white. I don't know why, it just stands out for me. This is about a 50-50. This happens sometimes, and it's always interesting to see what why folks like it. Sometimes there's not a reason, sometimes there is. And when folks are nice enough to share their reasons why, I think it's that's pretty pretty cool. We'll see what we got here. Joy Ross Davis, she likes A. B looks similar to Kevin Stubinsky's, maybe the same colors. Beth Westcott, she likes A. It's more appealing. Interesting. Okay. I can see Joy's a little bit, but I know other covers Jim has had. He's enjoyed the silhouette of the riders, and that's been interesting. All right. Before we go, because we're stopping at 9, and I want to leave some time to play your audio sample of the voice of Ada Stamen. Murray Pure's post just went up for Silver City Volume 3. There's also a good like 900 or 1,000 words to read from Silver City. That is it's a contemporary Western action suspense thriller. Really cool. After that, before we go off tonight, two more things are going to happen. Tracy Krause's Neighbors giveaway is going to come up. And Tony Helling, our guest this evening, his reading sample for Volume 3 of The Voice of Ada Stamen, Betrayal, looking about that. Other things that have happened tonight, Marcelli Laycock was very nice. She provided the opening prayer. That is on the Helping Hands Press blog for you to see if you'd like. There's a giveaway for Patty J. Smith for her Grave Obsessions. Please enter to win. D. Matchell's audiobooks, they're now all on sale in the Helping Hands Press store. Parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, the entire Alive and Whole is available for you to get. So now you can get it in ebook, paperback, or audiobook if you want. First look at Ann Baxter Campbell's cover for her new children's slash coloring book. Marcelli Laycock's will cover for Northern Reflections, which will be out on our next Thursday, which is August 20th. The new release for Amish Snow, which is really cool. Kevin Stubinsky's reading sample, and the first ebook bundle has been released. So that takes us up till now. And you're listening to the G Zone. We have Tony Helling here as our guest. We're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thirsty Thursday party. Before we tune out for the night, Tony, any closing comments I haven't asked you this evening?
Give me that again, Giovanni. Any?
Have there been any questions maybe I haven't asked you this evening, or any bases we haven't touched for you?
I think you've touched on them. I kind of more of a, I suppose in a sense, a short tale sort of writer. I find I don't do a lot of planning, and maybe I should be more of a planner. My wife is a planner. I'm not, you know, I do just tend to perhaps write down the guts of a story, and then I start to build on it. But I'm not really a one that would sort of plan it out. I sense, you know, for example, you read a Tom Clancy novel, you know, you look at it and boy, how does he put this together? He must have like a chart up there, you know, in the wall where he's got, you know, all these things interlocking. And I guess my style is just to write down a sort of a bare bones and then start to, you know, let the Spirit of God just give creativity right away. Maybe that's a little too presumptuous. I don't know, but it just seems to the way I've put Edith Stammen together. I thank you for the opportunity to come on the show, Giovanni, and at short notice too. And I really enjoy talking about this work.
It was very nice to come on. I really appreciate it. And I know folks have been asking you to talk about your not just your written work, but also your music. And I want to thank you for taking the time for being on. Glad to see that you're back and feeling good. Yeah, everything is rolling for you.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. And it's a good experience, and I'm really grateful for the community of writers. To listen to other folks once a week and just encourage and receive encouragement. I just think that's a great thing, Giovanni. We can put out there the good news and in all the different mediums that we write on. And I want to thank you for the encouragement you give us. And it's good this evening just to be able to share some of that.
Thank you, everybody. Tony Hilling, author of The Voice of Edith Stammen. He also, The Voice of Edith Stammen, Volume 1 is an ebook and an audio, and I'll play the audio sample in a little bit to take us home for the evening. And he also has 3 songs out that are all on the Helping Hands Press store website. Please just put in myhelpinghandspress.com, click on a little shopping cart guy, and you can download any of his songs, his audiobook, or his ebooks. Tony, thanks a lot for being with me tonight.
You're welcome.
Awesome. There's another comment up on the blog. Marta Burton. She is Marta Burden. Excuse me. Burden. She'll be my guest, by the way, on August 19th here on the G Zone. She'll be talking about West Line Encounter and a number of other things. She writes, "I like B. I tend to overlook the black and white. B catches my eye because of the color, the horse, and cowboy silhouette." Okay. That is published and on the blog. See how much time we have left in the evening. I better get to this. All right, folks, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. It's been a true pleasure. I want to thank everybody on the Facebook page, on Twitter, Tony Hilling for joining me here on the simulcast. Tony's blog post will be popping up at 8:55. But right now what I want to do is take everybody home with the Voice of Edith Stammen with the voice accounts of narration by George. Here's the audio sample of The Voice of Edith Stammen.
Helping Hands Press, narration by George and author Tony Hilling, present The Voice of Edith Stammen, Volume 1, The Child's Arrival. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? About evil or suffering? Tony Hilling brings us an epic biblical fantasy called The Voice of Edith Stammen. Meet the chosen people who endure much evil and suffering. But there's more. Their God has a mind to save them. 7 arcs later, while much of the city of Deverinspay continued to revel in the 10-arc celebration at the palace for the birth of the king's son, 2 women were seen drawing near the temple of Verin in the quiet of the late evening. The sole guard at the temple was earning some extra silver, discharging his duty as the late guard of a virtually deserted temple and almost dying of boredom in the process. He was suddenly jolted from his vacant reverie by the approach of the 2 women. One was tall, of stately bearing, the royal purple veil partially revealing strands of her flaxen hair. The other was a dark and plainly dressed Ma'apon woman, clearly the first woman's servant. The guard snapped to attention, bringing his 5 forearm halberd to his chest to permit entry to the temple. He risked a quick glance and recognized the king's young niece, Both women entered the temple, the lady Kara ignoring him, her servant looking away from him anxiously. Once inside and beyond the reach of the guard's eyes and ears, the servant held out a restraining hand to her mistress. "My lady, I am so sick with fear. The end of this place is worse than passing through the gates of death, and someone is certain to notice us." Kara turned to her. "Do not worry, Mevadine," she whispered. "I have planned it this way. Because of the feasting, there are few people about. But Alameda will be here, because it is not yet widely known that she is the mother of the royal child. But what about the guard? I will deal with him. But listen to me. This will be difficult for you. You must steel yourself. Alameda will not be easily persuaded to release your son. You may see blood tonight. Focus on your son, and remember that whatever happens, it is necessary to get him back." Medvedine nodded, fearful. They proceeded to the inner temple and climbed the stairs that led behind the high altar of Varun, the god of the Davarang people. As she mounted the stairs beside her mistress, Medvedine looked to her right and saw with horror the pyramid of 10 rising steps leading to the platform behind the huge bowl-shaped altar of sacrifice that had consumed so many of her people's infants. And behind the altar and overarching was the massive idol of Varun, a dragon's face, bearing a fierce demoniacal grin. She also noticed about 4 forearms above the altar a large metal funnel connected to a wide flue that led ever upwards, directing the sacrificial vapors into the heavens. Despite this, the stench of the heat and stale burnt human flesh was nauseating. When they approached the anteroom behind the high altar, she saw her mistress pull something out of her tunic and cover it with her outer robe on her right hand. With her left hand, she knocked on the door, then reached out and took a piece of parchment from Medvedine. A Ma'apon woman answered, looking respectfully but slyly at Kara, and seemed to look right through Medvedine. "I wish a private conference with Lady Alameda. I will see if she can attend on you, my lady," said Jadine. "Lady Alameda will see you now." Kara swallowed, raising her left hand to Mevadine, signaling her to stay, and went inside the anteroom. In spite of her youthful courage, Kara quaked slightly as she looked at Alameda, the legendary high priestess of the Temple of Varun. Kara knew that the royal family even feared this former temple prostitute, now sorceress and black witch. She was the sole ruler of the temple and had subtle but strong influence in the royal courts. Kara had also heard the rumor that she was consorting with the king himself. "Why, my lady, it has been some time since I have seen you come to Varun's chambers," said Alameda, a cold, mirthless smile playing at her lips. "I no longer worship your god, Lady Alameda," said Kara simply. "Have we gone over to the god of the defeated, of the chosen ones, or is it the conquered ones?" She chuckled nastily, then turned her full glare on the young woman who stood before her. "How can we help you?" Kara met those dead gray eyes with a blank stare of her own. "I would speak with you alone," she said. The high priestess paused an instant and then made a side movement of her head to Jadine. "My lady, go," said Alameda emphatically. Her attendant left and returned to her room. "Now, my lady," said Alameda, the smile gone. Kara began. "You have seized a boy child for sacrifice tomorrow. He has the name Banawan tattooed on his heel." "Yes," said the high priestess. Kara knew she was expecting more. "I will buy him back. What is your price?" "But, my lady, the king's edict was quite specific. All male children born to the Ma'apon slaves in the last 10 arcs are to be sacrificed to our god in celebration for the birth of the king's son. I cannot accede to your request without further order." The Voice of Ada Stamen by Tony Hilling. Reviewers say, We have murder, conspiracy, bribery, deceit, abuse of power. We have one race dominating the other and treating them as slaves. All this packed into a 33-page short introductory volume, and it really does set the atmosphere very well. Hilling has one great imagination. He also writes well. It's available from Helping Hands Press and narration by George. Your narrator is George Taylor for Tony Hilling's The Voice of Ada Stamen.